It's always a blessing to have Evangelist Gary Gilmore preach for us, and I think about his life, and it's for me, it's just a reminder of what simple obedience to God can do. I love hearing a little bit about his testimony. It's encouraging for, I think, us as we go out in ministries to realize that we have no idea what God can do in any situation. He's raised in a home with a pretty much a single mom, a little trailer, in a little trailer park, a single wide up in the state of Washington, playing a little baseball out in the gravel parking lots, and but God got a hold of his heart, and he just obeyed God all along the way, and for years has been traveling the country in evangelism, and stayed faithful to the Lord. Sadly, not long ago, the Lord called his wife home. They'd been married for many, many years and just really knit together in everything they did, the ministries. Many of you remember her coming here and being here with him when he would preach for the preaching conference or for special days. And the Lord laid on Brother Gilmore's heart. I remember talking to him soon afterwards. He said, I'm just going to press on until the Lord comes, until he's done with me. And so he has stayed at it in this time since his wife's passed away. Dealing with a difficult bout of cancer, three more treatments, and then he'll be through with these treatments here on Wednesday. Please pray for him. And I'm telling you, he's got a full slate ahead of him in 2020. And so it's been a blessing. The first time my wife heard him, I heard about him, was they were in the ensemble out, this is the early 90s, in Montana at a summer camp. And he was the preacher. And always has had a heart for young people, desire to see them stirred up to serve God. And it's been a blessing, really, with his life, I guess, as much as his preaching. And so we're grateful that he's able to preach for us this morning, as well as spend some time here with us this evening. So I'm sure he'd appreciate your prayers as he moves on through this year in all the places. And God would grant him continued strength and help during these days. So be attentive, Brother Gilmore, come and preach for us.
Thank you, Brother. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, it's a joy to be here again tonight. And you know, when you know the Lord, it's a win-win situation. And I'm glad for that. So we trust the Lord for his continued grace. I just, you know, I'm... As long as it's needful for me to be here, I want to be here. But if it's not needful, I'm you know, that's my home, is heaven. And I have four homes, heaven, and then the will of God is my home, and my ministry home, and then is my trailer, and then my four homes. And I don't know how many you got, but I'm really glad for every home that I have. It's a joy. All right, let's take our Bible tonight to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at 19, 20, and 21, Matthew's gospel, chapter number 6, 19, verse 19 through verse 21, Matthew's gospel, and we'll be looking at that. You follow along, please. I'm just going to read these three scriptures, probably pretty familiar scriptures to all of us, most of us, I'm sure. But Matthew 6, 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." All right, let's look at the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for every opportunity to preach your word. And we pray that, dear God, you'll put ears on our hearts, and that we might be receptive to it, and that we might apply it to our life and go away richer and fuller because we did. And so save that soul that may be without Christ. Stir the heart of every Christian. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I want to ask you, what are you planning on living for in 2020? What are you planning on living for? You know, a lot of different things you can live for. You can live for things. You can live for possessions. You can live for a motorcycle. You know, you can live for houses. You can live for different things. But what are you planning on living for? You know, maybe live for sports. There was a time when I was living for sports. I always liked playing baseball. Brother Almacross mentioned that. And I had a dream one time when I was a young boy that I was on the Dodgers team, the Brooklyn Dodgers. And we were in the World Series playing the New York Yankees. And it was 3-3. And there was a young rookie shortstop for the Dodgers stepping up the plate. He was a shoe-in for the Rookie of the Year that year. And the announcer said, this young shortstop has all kinds of pressure on him. You know, their bases loaded with Dodgers, two outs. The Yankees are ahead. And, you know, if he strikes out, he's going to be the GOAT for the series. If he gets a hit, he's going to be the hero. So I can remember that in my dream, this announcer saying, Gary Gilmore stepping up to the plate. And all the here comes the first pitch. It's a strike, you know. And here's another pitch. It's a ball. And I wonder what's going to happen to this young shortstop. Boy, I can't imagine the pressure's on him. He's had a great year, great season. But you know, this is another situation. It's a lot of pressure. So here comes the next pitch. It's going. It's going. It's gone. It's a grand slam home run. The Dodgers win the series. Gary Gilmore's the most valuable player. He gets a new car. That was a dream I had, you know. And the closest I ever came to that one time was at junior girls camp. Bases low with junior girls, and I hit a ball into the weeds. They couldn't find it, and I got a grand slam home run. I don't know what you can live for in 2020, but I want to tell you what Jesus wants you to live for, okay? Here's what Jesus wants you to live for, according to this very scripture. Jesus wants you to live for laying up treasures in heaven, say. That's what he wants you to live for, 2020, laying up treasures in heaven. Now, if you're going to live for that, there are three things that you need to realize. Number one, you need to know that heaven's a real place. I mean, if you don't believe it's a real place, I mean, why are you going to waste your time laying up treasure up there? You know, you need to know that it's a real place. Paul described it as a real place. He's caught up there in the third heaven. He sees things he can't even put in words. He said, I saw things I can't utter. You know, there was no way that he could describe it in human words. Have you ever had that happen? You know, I'm sure that solar eclipse that we had a year or so ago. I'm sure, you know, people came from all over the world to observe that. And I'm sure when they got back to where they came from, maybe someone might have come up and said, you know, what was it like? And I can't put in words. It's just too, I can't explain it, you know. Well, that's what Paul says. I saw heaven, I can't put it in words, you know, what it was like. And so he described it as a real place. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, he said that, that I have not seen nor ear heard nor hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And so Apostle Paul, he believed it was a real place. And that's why he, lived a life of laying up treasure in heaven, say. He lived that kind of life. Why? Because he realized and believed it was a real place. It's not a dream. It's not the figment of somebody's imagination. It's a real place with real people, real streets, and it's a real situation. And so if you don't believe that, then you're not going to lay up treasure in heaven. You know, you're just not going to do it. So, you know, Paul describes a real place. John, the beloved, describes it as a real place. John gives us some negatives about it. He says it's a place where there is no tears. Revelation 21:4. No tears up there. Wouldn't that be great? You know, since my wife went to be with the Lord, I'm about ready for a tear duct transplant. You know, you've heard of knee transplants and hip transplants. I'm about ready. I tell you, I've done more crying since my wife went. I think it's not a day goes by I don't well up with tears. And so, but in heaven, there's no tears. No party. There'll be no pain. Nothing like that. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. That's a negative of heaven. I like that negative, don't you? And then there's another negative heaven. That is, there's no sin up there. Revelation 22 and verse number 27 tells us that. There's no sin up there. Isn't it wonderful to know that we're going to go to a place where there is no crime, no murder, no burglary? I mean, there's no sin whatsoever up there. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? It's going to be an amazing thing. No sin up there at all. And then another negative that John gives in describing the reality of heaven, he says there are no, there's no curse up there. Revelation 22, verse 3. No curse. Curse will be lifted. Have you ever wondered why we have all of the natural upheavals, you know, earthquakes and tsunamis and floods and fires, out of control fires? You know, it's not because of climate change, I'll tell you that. It's because there's a curse on this earth. And one day that curse will be lifted. Can you imagine how beautiful it's going to be? The desert's going to blossom like a rose. And the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. The only time that happens here is when the lamb's in the stomach of the lion. Oh, I'll tell you something. It's going to be, it's a real place. John describes a real place. Note what John says in a positive way about heaven. He says it's a place of great beauty in Revelation chapter number 21. He calls it a place of great beauty as a bride coming down from heaven. And so it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. And he also describes it as a place with great size in Revelation 21 verse 16. He says the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, it's hard for us to understand that because furlongs, we're not too familiar with that. But if you put that into miles, that'd be a city 1,600 miles wide, 1,600 miles long, and 1,600 miles high on top of that. It'd be a city stretched all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, clear down to Miami, Florida. It would stretch from Washington, D.C., clear out to Denver, Colorado, and then 1,600 miles high on top of that. It's a place, it's going to be a great city, the Bible tells us. And it's a great size. And then there's great streets up there, streets of gold, amen? Can you imagine that? When I was I raised out Washington State, we used to call the potholes, you know, we used to call them chuck holes. You know those big things that happen after wintertime and you go down in one, you stay there about a week, and then you finally get up out of it. You know, but one time I was preaching and I said, you know, there's not going to be any potholes up in heaven. And streets of gold. Man came up at the service. I said, Brother Gilmore, I enjoyed the message, but there's one thing I didn't agree with you with. I said, what's that? You said there'd be no potholes up there. I said, no, there's not going to be potholes, streets of gold. He said, well, I'd beg to differ. My name is Pot, my last name's Hole, and I'm going to be in heaven. I'll tell you something, dear friend, I never met a man like that. So I never say that anymore. I say chuck holes. Maybe I'll meet a chuck hole somewhere. I don't know. But the streets up there are absolutely gorgeous. The light of the city. Oh, it's going to be glorious light. Jesus is going to be the light of that city. And the Bible also says it's going to be a place of great music. Oh, I can't wait to hear that music. I love music. I love to come to Fairhaven because I love to hear the choirs and love to hear you folks sing. And I just love music. And, you know, one time someone came to me and said, Brother Gilmore, you got a mellow voice. I got all excited. I've never had anybody compliment my voice like that. So I went home, looked up the word mellow. All of a sudden I realized it wasn't a compliment. The word mellow means slightly overripe with a tendency to be rotten. So anyway, you know, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to have a golden throat up there. And so will you. And I can't wait for that great big sing-spiration in the sky. Oh, I tell you, it's going to be glorious to hear all the redeemed sing the great songs of heaven. So heaven is a real place. You know, if you're going to lay up treasure in heaven, you got to realize that you're laying up treasures in a place that is glorious and it's real. It's not a dream. It's not somebody's figment of somebody's imagination. It's a real place. But secondly, not only do you need to realize or know that it's a real place, but if you're going to lay up treasure to heaven in 2020, you need to, secondly, you need to realize it's a restricted place. In other words, you're not going to get to heaven without realizing that Not everybody's going there. Not everybody can go there. Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Whosoever will. You're not a person in this world can't go to heaven. Jesus died for every individual that's ever lived on this earth. He paid the price for every sin. He paid for your sin. And so you're not going to be able to lay up treasure in heaven unless you're going there, right? So if you're going to lay up treasure in heaven, you've got to make sure that you know the Savior, that you've been born again, that you're a saved person, right? And so it's a restricted place. You go through the Bible, and the Bible makes it very plain that not everybody's going there. I mean, we live in a world that is very accepting about everything. They you know, we accept everything and accept everyone, and it is a world that is very tolerant and pushes tolerance. Well, I'll tell you something, my friend. God's made heaven a restricted place. Not that He's gonna just keep some particular people out. No, the only thing that keeps you out of heaven is your choice. Whether you receive Christ your Savior, you go there. But if you're not saved and haven't been born again, you won't go there. See, the Bible says it's a restricted place. John 3:3, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Let alone enter it. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. The Word of God says in Matthew 18:3, except ye be converted, ye shall nowise enter the kingdom of God. Have you been converted? What's it mean to be converted? It means that you're going a certain way and you turn and you go a different way than what you've been going. Say, a conversion. You've been changed. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And there are many, many other scriptures. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, the disciples come to Jesus. They've seen a lot of great miracles and they're rejoicing. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in the miracles that you've seen. Rejoice that your name is written down the Lamb's book of life. See, dear friend, you're not going to get into heaven unless your name's written down. See, it's been written down from the foundation of the world. The Lord wants you in heaven. He puts your name in there from the foundation of the world, the book of life. But you see, you can blot that name out by your refusal to come to Christ and be saved. Your name is blotted out. Dear friend, how's it going to be when we stand before the Lord? He's going to say, what's your name? And you're going to give him a name. He's going to take the book of life. He's going to look at that book of life and say, oh, okay, Johnson, Tim. And he's going down there, well, I don't have you here. And you see, the name was blotted out. And what's going to happen? That means you'll end up in hell for all eternity. You ought to know that your name's in the book of life. Do you know it's in the book of life? Lady came in a revival meeting and I was preaching. She didn't know she had her name written in the book of life. My wife took her back and showed her how she could know that. And, you know, that particular night when I gave the invitation, I said, how many know that your name's in the book of life? She couldn't raise her hand. I know she had. She could. And she came up to me afterward. And then that night, my wife led to the Lord. The next night, she's back. And when I said, how many know your name's in the book of life? She raised her hand up. Praise God. Oh, I tell you something. She got it settled that her name is in the book of life. You see, heaven's a restricted place. Not everybody's going there. God's made it so everybody can. There's not a person in this world can't go to heaven. You haven't committed too many sins that you couldn't have those sins washed away and have a home in heaven for all eternity. There's not a person that can't have heaven as their home. But it's restricted to those who are willing to repent and come to Christ and receive Him as Savior. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John Wesley, the great preacher, one time had a dream. In his dream, he dreamed that he went right before the very gates of hell and he saw the gatekeeper standing there. And he said, let me ask you a question. Is there any Baptist down here? And the answer came back, yes. Any Lutheran? Yes. Any Methodist? Yes. Went down to every denomination you can think of. The answer came back, yes. And John Wesley, in his dream, you know, greatly burdened him, and he woke up. Have you ever dreamed and woke up? I've done that. I've dreamed, woke up, and he was burdened. You know, that dream to me seemed to be so real to him. And so he fell back to sleep, and he picked up the dream. Have you ever fell back to sleep and picked up your dream? I have. And he picked up the dream, and this time he dreamed he's standing right before the gates of heaven, and there's the gatekeeper. So he decided to ask the same question that he'd asked the gatekeeper of hell. And he said, are there any Baptists up here? And the answer came back, no. Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, no. Any Catholics, no. Any Jehovah's Witnesses, no. Mormons, no. I mean, every religion you can think of. The answer came back, no. And John Wesley looked over, he saw the happy throng of heaven. He said, well, how'd these people get here then? And the angel responded, they washed their robes in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friend, the only people going to be in heaven are people who come to Jesus and receive him as Savior, and their sins have been washed away. So if you're going to lay up treasure in heaven, you gotta have a ticket for there. You gotta have the ticket's Jesus. Ticket's not a church. Ticket's not your good life. It's not Baptist. The ticket's Jesus, say. Do you have the ticket? You can't get to heaven. You can't lay up treasure. There'll be no treasure up there if you don't know the Lord. All your life will be a waste. Your life will be totally wasted. Totally gone. Nothing. You'll go into eternity with nothing. And do you know you're saved? Have you been saved? See, if you want to lay up treasure, you need to realize it's a restricted place. Thirdly, if you're going to lay up treasure in 2020, the third thing you need to realize, and this is the thing I want to dwell on mostly tonight, and that is you need to realize something else. You need to understand that it's a revealing place. It's a revealing place. Now, why should you lay up treasure? Well, this is a command of the Lord. This is what Jesus wants you to do. If you have received him as your Savior, and you've got the ticket to go to heaven, now the Lord says here that he wants you to live a life that says, I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. That's a command he gives to you. Say, he wants you to live that way. You know, the problem with most of us is we just don't apply the Word of God. You know, the devil doesn't want you to apply practically to your life the doctrine of heaven. He doesn't want you to apply it practically. You know, how do you apply practically the doctrine of heaven? Every doctrine has a practical application. And you're to apply that doctrine to your life, say. And not just know it here, but apply it to the way you live. Say, that's what you really believe is what you put into your life. Say, you can say, you believe so, but do you put it in your life? How does it affect your life? How does it affect your living? Say. And so the devil doesn't want you to apply practically to your life the doctrine of heaven. How do you do that? Oh, you say, well, preacher, you rejoice that you go to heaven. You just are happy and, you know, you just don't have to worry about too much. You're on your way to heaven and just live it up down here and enjoy yourself. You're going to heaven. That's not practically applying the doctrine of heaven to your life. See, dear friend, to apply the doctrine of heaven to your life practically, it means this. It means that you give yourself to living a life that says, I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. Hey, can your kids look at you, Dad, and say, you know, my dad's, you know, he's living to lay up treasure in heaven. I see him reading his Bible. I see him. He's going to church. He's serving the Lord. Can your children look at you, Mom, and say, hey, you know, my mom, she's living a life to lay up treasure in heaven. Say, you know, I tell you what, can your pastor look at you and say, yeah, that man's living a life to lay up. That lady's living those young people are living a life to lay up treasures in heaven. See, that's the kind of life that the Lord wants you to live. And if you're going to lay up in treasure, that has to be what you have in your life. You're practically applying the doctrine of heaven to your life. In other words, you are going to live the way the Lord says to live, the way he commands you to live here. And that is to lay up treasure in heaven. Now, there are two ways you can live in 2020. There are two ways that you can respond to being saved and on your way to heaven. Two ways. And those two ways are given in our text. And that is, you can say, I'm going to live to lay up treasure on this earth. And you can say, I'm going to live for the pleasures of this world. I'm going to live for the possessions, furniture, houses, cars, and whatever. I'm going to live for those things. Hey, you can. That's what Jesus says. One of two ways you can live. Say, after you come to know the Lord as your Savior. And that is, you can say, I'm going to live to lay up treasures on this earth. You can live that way. Now, you know, there are two things you need to know about that. If you can, you got a choice. Say, you got a choice. You can choose to live that way. Jesus says here, you can choose to lay up treasure on the this earth. All right. So there are two things you need to know about that. And the first thing you need to know about it is that if you live to lay up treasure on this earth, you know what? It's all going to deteriorate. Everything is going to deteriorate and get rotten, and it's going to deteriorate. I remember one time driving down the road, and I saw this place, this junkyard. It had a bunch of cars in there, and they had all kinds of cars. They were stacked on top of each other. And I looked at those cars, and some of them had the hoods taken off. They weren't even, no hoods at all over the motor. The back end was smashed. I mean, they were rusted out. The windows were smashed. I mean, the hubcaps were off. The fenders were banged up. You know, one day those things were brand new. One day they were just sparkling, shining. And I'll tell you something. When you choose to lay up treasure on this earth, it's all going to deteriorate. See? It's going to deteriorate. Oh, I'll tell you something. You can choose to lay up treasure on the earth if you want to. But, you know, it's all going to turn to junk. You know, a lot of people have garage sales and you know, they can't, what for? Get rid of their junk, right? Or, you know, if you can't get rid of the junk, you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and they'll come get it for you. You know, do you want to live for junk? You want to live for stuff that's going to deteriorate and cease to be? You know, you can choose to do that as a Christian. You're not going to have anything in heaven. You know, you can't take a bunch of junk there. I mean, you know, do you want to take junk? You want to take junk to heaven? You know, I tell you what, live for this world, the pleasure of this world. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a house and a car and furniture and nice things like that. But it ought not to be the priority of your life. The priority of your life ought to be to lay up treasure in heaven. Where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Thieves do not break through and steal. I never forget there was a man that I knew very personally. His name was Dale. And he was an insurance agent. And the insurance, he's really good at it. Insurance boss called him in and said, Dale, we're going to give you a raise. We're going to give you a higher position. And he said, the only thing is you're going to have to work on Sundays. And, you know, you're not going to be at home much. You're going to have to travel. And Dale looked at that boss of his and he said, I just don't want that kind of job. He said, I'm just content to stay where I am. And the guy looked at him and said, well, wait a minute. You're going to get a better retirement. I mean, you got a better income coming in. You mean you don't want that? He said, no. He said, well, how come you don't want it? He said, I'm a born-again Christian, he said. And he said, you know what? I want to lay up treasure in heaven. And he said, to lay up treasure in heaven, I've got to be taking care of my family. I've got to be with my family and reading the Bible with my kids. And if I took that job, he said, I'd be gone so much, I wouldn't be with my family, my kids. And he said, if I took that job, he said, you know, he said, I wouldn't be able to work in my church, in my ministry, in my church. I wouldn't be able to work with the youth. He said, it'd be too expensive for me to take that job. You see, the priority of his life was lay up treasure in heaven. How about you? What's your priority? What's your priority in life? You see, you can choose to lay up treasure on this earth. The second thing is going to happen when you leave this earth, you'll leave it all behind. All the furniture, all the cars, all the bank accounts, all will all be left behind. Say, you don't take it. I got all my wife's clothes. I got all her. I haven't gotten rid of too much stuff, you know, And I'm waiting for my daughter to come and kind of go through it. But everything, she left it all. She didn't take anything that was hers. I tell you what, when you lay up treasure on this earth, you're going to leave it all behind when you leave this earth. But there's another choice you can make. And that choice is to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. That's the way Jesus wants you to live. See, Jesus wants you to live a life that says that you're living to lay up treasure in heaven. Can he see that that's true tonight? Can he see that you're living to lay up treasure in heaven? You know, that speaks of money, doesn't it? Treasure, talk about money. Do you know when you got saved, you got a bank account in heaven? How many have bank accounts? Let's see your hands. You got a bank account? Okay. I think most of you do. You know, it's time to check your spiritual bank account up there. How much treasure you got up there? I mean, sometimes you check your checkbooks down here to see what the balance is and all that kind of thing, don't you? Well, it's time to check your spiritual bank account in heaven. You got a bank account in heaven. Are you concerned about that? Do you think much about it? How much you got up there in that bank account, you see? You got a bank account. See, God gives you money to take care of your physical needs. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. You need a house. You need a car. You need clothes. You need furniture. You see, God gives you money to take care of those things. But folks, money never brings happiness. It never brings peace. It never brings love into your life. It never does. See, I tell you what, he gave you money not just to take care of your material needs, but he gave you money to lay up treasure in heaven. Okay. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about laying up treasure in heaven. One time there was an old gentleman in the church, and he was a godly guy, and he loved the Lord. And people began to notice that when the offering plate was passed, he would say something to the offering when he put it in. And so someone stuck up behind him and to find out what is he saying to the as he's putting the money in the offering plate. And you know what he was saying? He is saying, "I'll see you in heaven." Every time he put some in, he'd say, "I'll see you in heaven." You know, people thought he's going nuts. You know, he's talking to the offering. So they kind of snuck over and sat by him, and they found that's what he's saying. "I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in heaven." See, he was taking this verse literally. By the way, that's the way you're supposed to take the Bible. Do you know that? Supposed to take it literally, unless it clearly is stating that it's not to be taken literally. For instance, Jesus said, "I am the door." Now, we know he's not a literal door. He's speaking figuratively. But Jesus says here, "Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." That's literal. You're to literally be laying up treasure. That's taking your monies and laying it up in heaven. Giving to your local church, tithes and offerings, giving to the local church. That's a way that you lay up a treasure of money in heaven. Well, this guy, you know, he'd say, "I'll see you in heaven." He died. Went to be the Lord. And so the pastor had his funeral, and the pastor said, "You know, I think some of you folks know that Brother so-and-so took Matthew 6:19-20 literally. And he would, when putting money in the offering plate, he'd always say, 'I'll see you in heaven.'" And he says, "You know, I kind of think that when he got to heaven, as he's walking down the streets of gold, someone would have come up to him and said, 'You know, I just want to thank you that you are a tither to your local church. Because you tithe your local church, you know, they can have the lights on at night and they can get pews and they can, you know, have a piano and so forth. And they could pay the water bill and buy the property and pay the whatever. And because that church had the lights on and you tithe that local church, their doors were open. And I came in one time and I sat down and I heard the gospel and I got saved. And I just want to thank you that you gave to your local church. You gave a tithe and offerings to your local church." And the preacher's preaching this funeral of this dear friend, this dear fellow in the church. And he says, "I can imagine me walk down the streets and go a little bit further. And someone else came up to him and says, 'I just want to thank you that you gave your local church, because, you know, you gave that local church, you know, you could pay the pastor a good salary. And he could buy a nice car that would run and start, and, you know, get around, be able to go visiting and so forth and knocking on doors. I just want to thank you that you gave so the pastor wouldn't have to have a job and have his time wrapped up in working to meet his needs and stuff. You took care of him really well.' He says, 'I just want to thank you for that, because one day your pastor came by and he knocked on the door of my house. And he said, 'I'm out visiting the area and I'd just like to visit with you. And can I ask you a question? Do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven?' 'Oh, I don't think you know that.' 'Oh, yes, you can.' 'You can? Yeah, it's right in the Bible. Can I show you?' 'Sure.' Okay, he steps in, the pastor steps in, opens the Bible, he leads that man to Jesus Christ. Oh, he says, 'I just thank you that you gave to your local church, that you were concerned about, you know, taking care of your pastor. And because you took care of him, he's able to come by. He led me to Christ. I just want to thank you that you gave.' 'Oh, you know, I tell you what, I can see pastors going on preaching a funeral sermon. He says he walks down the street to go a little bit further, and a fella comes up and says, "You know, I just want to thank you. You gave your local church tithes and offerings." He said, "Because you they were able to support a missionary, and that missionary came over to where I live. I live way up in the mountain. No one ever come up there ever before. No one ever bring the gospel before. But the missionary that you supported came up into our mountain, into our village, and he gave me the gospel, and I got saved." Oh, folks, I tell you something. Payday's coming. Are you laying up treasure in heaven? Are you, tithing, giving to your local church? You know, I never preach this message, but I get a conviction about giving more. I want to give more. I don't want to level off and just stop. I want to give more. Say, do you think you could do more in 2020? You know, I don't think there'd ever be a church that had a financial need if every member was a tither. You'd be surprised how many don't. You'd be surprised. What do you say, preacher? You mean the only way that you can, lay up treasure is money? No. You can lay up treasure other ways. You know, when you come to church on Sunday night, that's laying up treasure. Now, that is if you come because you love the Lord. Not because your mom or dad made you, or you felt like, you know, if I don't show up, people are going to think I'm a heathen. When you come because you love the Lord, there's treasure. Just come into God's house. That's treasure. How much can you lay up treasure? Surrender your life to whatever He wants you to do. I don't know of anything that would be greater treasure that you could give the Lord than saying, "Lord, you saved me. You went to Calvary for me. And Lord, I just want to give my life to you, whatever you want." That's laying up treasure. When you go soul winning, that's laying up treasure. You give out a tract to someone, that's laying up treasure. When you forgive somebody, that's laying up treasure. When you are a submissive wife to your husband, that's laying up treasure. When you love your wife as Christ loved the church, His husband, that's laying up treasure. Hey kids, when you obey your parents with a good attitude, you honor them, not just obey them. That's laying up treasure. That's laying up treasure. All folks, it's just not money whereby that's a good place to start. That's a wonderful place to start, you know. But dear friend, you can lay up treasure in so many other different ways. Say, you can lay up treasure. One time there was a great fellow by the name of Eddie Rickenbacker, and he was in World War II. Some of you may have remembered him. He was a World War II hero. He was a flyer. He flew a bomber. And he was on a bombing run, and they dropped their bombs, and they're heading back to the base. And Eddie Rickenbacker, who's the pilot of the ship, the captain of the ship, the airplane, he realizes and notes that the gas gauge is lower than it really should be if they're going to get back safely. And he realizes they're in danger. And so he tells the whole crew, "Listen, let's get rid of everything out of this ship. Let's throw everything we can out of this plane. And let's lighten the load. Maybe we can spare some use of some fuel and save enough to get back." So they dumped everything they possibly could out of that airplane. Wasn't enough. And that plane crashed into the Pacific Ocean. And for 21 days, Eddie Rickenbacker fooled around. Louis Zamperini beat that. He had 40-some days, but this was before Louis Zamperini. But 21 days, Eddie Rickenbacker fooled around. After the war was over, he was miraculously spared. He was miraculously rescued. And after the war was over, Eddie Rickenbacker, he got saved. And Eddie Rickenbacker began to be in demand as a speaker. And he would have many opportunities to go around. He was a famous war hero. And he'd go and give his testimony and so forth. And Eddie Rickenbacker would say this in his speaking. He would say this. He said, "I finally realized what life was all about." He said, "I realized that one day I'm going to die. And I can't take anything of earthly possessions with me." And she said, "From this time on," he said, "I've been living a life for one reason, to lay up treasure in heaven." Do you know what the Christian life's all about? You'd be surprised how many Christians don't even know what it's about. The Christian life is not about getting furniture and houses and cars and pleasure in this world. The Christian life is about laying up treasure in heaven. If you don't lay up treasure in heaven, if that's not the priority of your life, you don't even know what the Christian life's about yet. How many Christians there are that don't even know what the life of a Christian's all about? It's about laying up treasure. God left you here. Your home's up there. Why do you think he left you here? He wants you to go home to heaven with some treasure up there. Say, Eddie Rickenbacker, whenever he'd close his speaking, he'd close with this poem. He'd quote it. I'm going to read it to you. This is a poem that he would close his speaking out with. Out of this life I shall never take things of silver and gold I make. All that I cherish I hoard away after I leave on earth must stay. Though I call it mine own and boast its worth, I must give it up when I quit the earth. All that I gather, all that I keep, I just leave behind when I fall asleep. I wonder often what I shall own in that life, the other life, when I pass alone. What Jesus shall find and what he shall see in my soul that answers the call for me. Shall the great judge learn that when I am through my life has gathered riches too? Will God learn from your life that you just weren't living for the things of this world? Will he learn that you were laying up treasure in heaven? That was where your real focus was. That was your real priority. Say, will he learn that? And then the poem goes on to conclude, or will it be alas to find that all that I worked for I left behind? Listen, if you're saved and you've been born again and you're on your way to heaven, listen, I'll tell you what, the way that you ought to live is, oh, I'm just going to have a good time. I'm going to heaven. I'm just going to enjoy myself, relax, and I'm just going to rejoice. I'm going to a place where there is no tears. I'm going to a place where there is no death. And, you know, hey, that's not practically applying the doctrine of heaven to your life. Now, that's all true, and we can rejoice in all that. But the practical application of the doctrine of heaven is this: I'm living to lay up treasures in heaven. When you read your Bible, you lay up treasure. When you spend time in prayer, you're laying up treasure in heaven. You see, oh, dear friend, you say, preacher, you're kind of saying that I'm kind of getting from this message tonight that you don't think all Christians are going to be alike in heaven. You got it right. All Christians aren't going to be alike in heaven. If that were true, if we go to all of us go to heaven, we're all alike. We're all the same level, we're all the same level, the same degree of joy, the same degree up there in heaven. Why would the Lord Jesus give this command in Matthew 6, 19 and 20 and 21? Why would he command that of us if everybody's alike up there? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, that there are those who are going to have an abundant entrance in heaven. The Bible says there are some saved souls by fire. Why? Because they just lived for the world themselves. And they weren't interested in laying up treasure in heaven. And their whole life went up in smoke. It's kind of like Lot. You know, Lot was worldly and he'd all focused on carnal things and the things of the world. You know, money. He didn't want to run around with that separate as Abraham. He wanted to get away from them, so he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And you know, Lot was saved. You know, I probably wouldn't know that if I didn't have 2 Peter 4, 7 to look at. God did say he was a righteous man. But you know, the Bible says he tormented himself. You know why he tormented himself? Because he was truly saved, but he was living for the world. And I'll tell you something, he was tormenting not only his life, but he was tormenting his eternity. Wouldn't it be awful to look out there and see everything you live for go up in smoke? That's what Lot did. He saw it all go up in smoke. All the smoke just went up in smoke. You know, a lot of Christians, when they stand before the Lord, their whole life's going to go up in smoke. Why? Because they were not living a life to lay up treasures in heaven. That was not the focus of their life. That was not the priority of their life. to lay up treasure in heaven. You know, one time there was a book that was written by a fellow by the name of William Crowell. It's called Tested by Fire. And it has to do with the matter of rewards in heaven. And he tells a story in this book about two examples in this book about two ladies. One got saved, and you know, she didn't have a lot of things in this world, and she didn't have a lot of possessions and all that. And she just was faithful to live for the Lord and walk with God and serve the Lord. And then the other lady, she got saved too. And but she was all wrapped up in herself, wrapped up in the world and the things of the world and the social life. She was very wealthy. She had a lot of wealth, and so she was all wrapped up in those things. She didn't really even have a church she went to regularly. You know what I mean? She was just kind of a floater. She was a floater. She'd float around, and she didn't have any real roots in the ground, so to speak, for the Lord. And she just floated around. She was saved. Hey, you know, we're not saved by laying up treasure. We're saved by receiving Christ. And she had received Christ, her Savior. But, you know, she wasn't laying up treasure. She missed what the Christian life's all about. She missed what the Lord left her here for, you know, to lay up treasure in heaven, say. And so these two ladies both died, and they went to heaven. And so the angel's walking them down the streets of gold, taking them to their mansion. And here comes this lady that didn't have much on earth. And she just, you know, she served the Lord, loved the Lord, read her Bible, prayed, walked with God. And, you know, here's this beautiful mansion. And the angel says, "This is yours." And she's shocked. She can't believe that she's going to have this place to live in for all eternity. Wow. She was thrilled. She felt so undeserving. And of course, that's the way we'll all feel when we get to glory, I'm sure. And so she takes a possession of her beautiful mansion. And so here's this other lady. She's the wealthy one, you know. She's, you know, not really then ever living for the laying up treasure in heaven. And so the angel takes her a little bit further down to the mansion that she was going to get. And so she comes in front of this, you know, plain old Jane old mansion. It's not really got too much fanciness to it. I mean, her house down on earth was a lot more, you know, fancy than what was up there in heaven. And the angel said, "This is yours." And she's shocked. "You mean, I lived in something a lot better than that down there. What, you mean, how come that lady got that beautiful mansion? And here I get this, you know, I get this plain old Jane old type of mansion." And the angel says, "Well, we went to your bank account, and you know, that's all we could get out of your bank account to build that mansion with." Folks, listen, you got a bank account in heaven. Laying up treasure. How are you doing that? Do you need to get your focus back on it? Do you need to get your priorities back on what you're here for as a Christian? To lay up treasure in heaven. That's your main priority. That's the main focus that ought to be in your life. How are you doing at practically applying the doctrine of heaven to your life? You know, so you go, "Oh, praise God, I'm going to heaven. Wow, it's great. I'm going to a place where there's no tears and there's no war and there's no sickness and there's..." Hey, that's not practically applying the doctrine of heaven to your life. Practically applying it, and the devil doesn't want you ever to apply the doctrines of the Word of God to your life. He wants you to know them up here. He wants you to, you know, mentally give assent to them. You know, but he doesn't want you to apply. He doesn't want you to apply this message to your life. He wants you to let it go in one ear and out the other. Walk out the same way you came in. Doesn't want you to apply it. You see, why? Because that's where real treasure is. When you apply the Word of God to your home, to your life. When you put it in your life, you say, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to start living. I'm going to start living a life that is focused on laying up treasure in heaven." You say, "Well, you know, I'm going to heaven at least." Well, Jesus would say to you, how you do it about laying up treasure. You may say, "Well, Lord, I'm really glad I'm saved, going to heaven. But Jesus may say, well, what's your bank account in heaven like? What's it like? You got any treasure up there? You know, when my wife went to be with the Lord 4 years ago in April, it's hard to believe it's been that long. But when she went to be the Lord, the last few months of her life, she actually died in the trailer where we would pull our trailer all over the country. She actually died there. And I'd have a young lady come in and she'd spell me. I was, you know, there giving her care and stuff. And this young nurse practitioner would come in and she would take my place for an hour or so, give me a little respite from all of the care, and I could go out and just kind of get myself together somewhat, and she'd be there with my wife. And I asked her one day, I said, did my wife ever do anything that stood out to you while you were there that just was something that really stood out to you? Oh, she said she sure did. She told me about it. She said one day she was laying there and all of a sudden, big smile on her face, she lifted her hands up to heaven and she said, Lord, I'm ready. You can take me anytime you want to. And then she brought her hand down and she kind of hugged herself like that. I think the Lord was hugging her and she was just hugging him back. And then she lifted up her hands again. Lord, I'm ready anytime you want to take me. And then she brought him down and hugged herself, you know. And then the third time, three times, big smile on her face. Oh, death, where's thy sting when you know the Lord? Amen. Big smile on her face. Lord, I'm ready. Anytime you want to take me. My wife was ready. Are you? You know, there are two reasons why my wife was ready to go home. Number one, she knew what God wanted her to know. Do you know what God wants you to know? He wants you to know 100% for sure that if you die, you're going to heaven. My wife knew 100% for sure that she was on her way to heaven. Why? Not because she was some good moral person. It was because one day as a 19-year-old teenage girl, she came to Jesus Christ repenting of her sin and receiving Him as her Savior. And that's why she knew she was going to heaven. See, she was ready because she knew she had done what God wanted her to do. That she had personally invited Christ in her heart to be her Savior. And then she was ready. Because you know why? Because not only did she know what God wanted her to know, that she was going to heaven, not to hell, but she lived a life that said loudly and clearly that she was living to lay up treasure in heaven. Dear friend, to be ready, you need to, number one, know that you know what God wants you to know, that you're going to heaven, not to hell. And then, number two, if you know that, you need to live a life that says, I'm living to lay up treasure in heaven. Are you living that way? Oh, dear friend, stick at it. You know why? Because it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race, till we see Christ. Sing it with me. Let's sing it together. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. How you doing about laying up treasure? Do you need to get refocused? Do you need to get some treasure in your life? Get baptized, join the church. That's treasure. You're living obedience. Whenever we obey the word of God, we're laying up treasure. Are you obeying the word of God? That's how you lay up treasure. Let's bow our heads in worship and prayer.